Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I have no long-term reservations about his ability to play the position and play the position at a high level for us.
15-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Weather looking good for Sunday afternoon against the Bengals. Temperatures will be in the 60s, it looks like, for that game, or high 50s, I should say. All right, that was Mike Tomlin's back and forth with Brooke Pryor. That was weird. He did not want to chalk up Rodgers' bad game against the Chargers as an off night, but he has no long-term concerns. He says that was what it was, the game against the Chargers. Yeah. So if it's not an off night, then, like, I think her follow-up question of, so was it something defensively? If it wasn't Rodgers just having a bad game and he's not worried about the future, then her conclusion, like, so you're just kind of tipping your cap to what the defense did,
right,
in the game. And he said, no, I don't want.
He tipped his cap to Jesse Minter enough. He's not doing it there. Is it just he didn't want to give Rodgers a pass and say anything like exculpatory or like to exonerate him? He just sucked. Can we leave it at that? Like, that's kind of what I took from it. But he just wasn't good.
But that's called having an off night. That's like the definition. An off night is, yeah, like I didn't have it. Malzi usually shoots in the mid-70s. You went out and shot in the 90s for no good reason. You know, it wasn't course conditions or anything like that. It wasn't weather conditions. You just had a bad day. That's what Brooke wanted, or like kind of asked a leading question, because she thought Mike would just say, yeah, it happens sometimes. I've been doing this. I'm 53 years old. I've been coaching for 19 years.
Is it a sign
sometimes
of friction?
Dudes just have bad. I don't think it's that.
It's just weird.
I don't know what it is. I think, like, the other explanation I have is it's just him kind of like playing games with the media because he wants to.
But he usually doesn't like to engage in any kind of games with Brooke. He actually was giving her quasi answers. Like, usually he would shut her down. There's like a time honored tradition of him giving her curt, clipped answers.
I obviously disagree with him. I do have long term questions about Rodgers. I do think that was a bad enough game and a scary enough game at 41 years old, where it makes you think about a guy. Like, I just don't. I agree with this. If part of his point there, and he said this at the beginning of the press conference, like, about how, you know, he didn't say that the Chargers like shocked them with anything, like surprised them, like they gave defensive looks that the Steelers didn't see coming. They were rattled by it, and that's why they lost. They did the same things everybody else does. Mm-hmm. They didn't blitz Rodgers. And they doubled up DK Metcalf. Mm-hmm. So basically what he was saying there was our offense, our quarterback had the answers to the test and he still couldn't get them right, which is a backhanded shot.
A backhanded shot? That's a forehanded shot. Here's the gun, I'm firing
that,
the shot.
That is a shot at Rodgers, but I think Rodgers can take it. I think Rodgers probably wants a little bit more tough coaching than guys like Roethlisberger did, obviously. What I'm trying to figure out, like, I don't know what the Steelers... My thought all along has been, regardless of how bad Aaron plays, as long as he's healthy enough to play, he's going to be the quarterback. Because of the cajoling that needed to go on to get him here, because of probably some promises that were made to him about coming here for his last season.
We're not going to humiliate you and bench you.
I just don't think that Tomlin has the balls or the guts to pull the plug. However,
what if it gets to the point where his losing season streak or his non-losing season streak is in real jeopardy and Rodgers is a huge reason why? What if they actually do lose three more in a row here and they're 5-7, staring down the barrel of still Ravens and Lions?
I still don't think he'd do it. I know for me, if Rodgers was bad against the Bengals and they lost, and then he fouled it up by being bad against the Bears, I would want Mason Rudolph to start the next game.
Who he historically has owned.
Yeah. I would want, at that point, they'd have a losing record. They probably wouldn't be in first place anymore. At that point, I'd say, Mason was really good the last time he was the Steelers quarterback. Let's see if he can do it again. And if the answer that there is no, well, then we get like a 2 or 3 game sample size of Will Howard at the end of the year, and you end up playing 3 quarterbacks. I mean, we're a long ways away from that. I happen to think that Rodgers will play a lot better against the Bengals on Sunday.
Probably against the Bears, too.
And the Bears. But if for some reason he does not play well against Cincinnati, for me, he would go into the Chicago game playing for his job at that point. Because you'd be 5-5 if you were to lose to the Bengals at home. The Ravens would probably have tied you in the division at that point. They're playing the Jets in 2 weeks. You're at Chicago. I'd give him that last. Okay. You always beat the Bears. Let's see if you
Tomlin's
can do it
gonna
one
go down
more time.
With the ship. He's going to go down with as he likes to call it, the grizzly veteran.
But I think he's, speaking of marriages, like this New York report about Rodgers and about Tomlin, marriage in the news twice with both guys, I think that he's married to Rodgers this year. And unless there's an injury, we won't see Mason Rudolph or Will Howard no matter
what.
That's
what I mean. I think he's married to Rodgers, but it's like it's also just Mike trusts veterans. I think Mike would feel like it was a failure, even if somehow he got bailed out again. I don't think it would happen this way. Just like he was taking the victory lap early when Rodgers got them off to a 4-1 start and he looked like a genius for bringing them in because he had contributed directly to probably 2 of those wins, maybe otherwise being losses.
Yep.
If you're under fire to bench your quarterback, even if you bring in Mason Rudolph and he does the white knight act again somehow, against all odds, it still kind of makes you look bad. Because you brought Rodgers in and you maybe let him die on the vine long enough in this hypothetical that you should have gone to Rudolph earlier.
He took the victory lap last year with Russell Wilson prematurely. Remember, he was the Lone Ranger?
Correct.
When he benched Justin Fields and he looked smart for a few weeks there and he was getting all kinds of praise until Russell Wilson did what he did in Denver with Sean Payton and forgot how to play football and didn't get along with coaches, allegedly. And to your point about trusting the veteran and not wanting to go back to the young guy, never went back to Justin Fields.
Because I think he decided in those 6 games of Justin Fields that they were 4-2 almost by a miracle and that he couldn't throw the ball.
Donnie, is there a scenario in which you'd want Rodgers benched?
I mean, it would just have to be like the same thing we saw Sunday night for the next 3 or 4 games.
What if it's 3 and at that point then they're 5-7? 3 in a row, 2 of them against truly horrific.
Did Sunday.
Yeah, and 2 of those are against like truly horrific defenses.
Yeah, because that would really have me thinking
he's shot.
That this isn't going to get better.
The Bengals are the worst defense in the league, and the Bears right this second might be 31st.
Yeah, if you can't look good against Cincinnati's defense, who he already tore up, and if you can't look good against the Bears, a team that you have historically torn up,
then
I feel like we're at the point where. Like, is this ever going to go back upward?
The Bears and the Bengals in each in their respect, and one of them was against each other, obviously, have combined to give up, I believe the math is, about 2,000 yards in their last 4 combined games that they've played, and something like 148 points in those 4 games.
I still can't get over the nearly like 30% of listeners to our show. And viewers of our show now on X, you can go to Twitter and the video is pinned to the top of the page. So we have our YouTube page where people can comment and watch the show. On Twitter, you can't comment, but you can watch along. There's still like a healthy amount of people that want Rudolph to play right now.
Those calls will get very loud, I think, if he goes out and lays a stinker on the field against Cincy. I think that's
because
it would happen in front of the home fans against a defense everyone knows stinks.
I saw the results of that poll and I'm like, hey, I probably like Mason more than most and so does Kabali, although Kabali's kind of conflicted because he also likes Rodgers. Although then he said in an article about Rodgers, Did you see this? He said Rodgers went out there and looked like a geriatric patient against the Chargers.
Really?
Yes.
Do you know what that makes me think? There's like some sort of actual friction between the McAfee camp and Rodgers.
Ooh. If
that there might not, it might not
if
just
Rodgers
be,
was still doing McAfee.
There's no way he writes
he does
a
not
geriatric.
Call him a geriatric patient.
But it makes me think that maybe there's more than just Rodgers quietly said, hey, I've loved doing the show, but I'm going to try to lock it all down for one more year here. Maybe there's some ill feelings.
But I was saying, like, I initially thought the only human beings, or not even human beings, the people that would say Rudolph were like bots, not real people who wanted him
AI.
To play. Yeah. But the comments suggest otherwise, that there's actually Steelers fans who think it's time to, even though Aaron Rodgers was probably their MVP through the first eight games.
I was just going to say, when they're 5-3, I think he got voted team MVP by, like, most of the people that appear on this station who cover the team. And I would have had a hard time really arguing with it.
Now, you can add Aaron Rodgers being washed to that ever-growing list of fan complaints, says Kabali. Rodgers looked like a geriatric patient against a susceptible Chargers defense, throwing the ball high, low, holding onto it too long, trying to scramble out of trouble, and in one instance, scrambling into a safety.
He did look more hit-averse than he's looked ever since joining the Steelers.
For the first time as a Steeler, Rodgers, the oldest player in football, looked like he wanted to be anywhere but playing football. Maybe an ayahuasca retreat. You're right. Maybe there is a little bit something going on there, Chris. Because these are shots from Kabali.
And I feel like
a geriatric patient.
I feel like if Rodgers was on extremely good terms with Pat right now, with McAfee,
yeah,
that McAfee would value that relationship enough to have
he'd
either
say, Mark,
personally,
the geriatric yeah. patient's going a little too far here.
Mark, brother. You know, whatever. Hit him with however Pat would talk to him and be like, stop writing that. Please
Texas.
Take that down. Because also doesn't, when he puts those massive tweet like columns out,
yeah,
it's as Pat McAfee show correspondent
it is.
Too.
That's exactly what it says at the top of this.
So it's like under the, it's very much
Mark
under the
Kabali
McAfee
slash
banner.
Steelers correspondent for the Pat McAfee show.
Yeah.
And in this column, he called Rodgers a geriatric patient.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I think it's just complimentary football or lack thereof at times. There have been some games where we haven't played the way we desired defensively due to tangible and intangible reasons. There have been a couple of games offensively where we've done similar things. And I just think that the more that you can come to the party with a high level of consistency in all three phases, the better chance you have to play complementary, positive complementary football. And there's certainly been several weeks where one way or the other we've been lacking in a certain component of our collective that's made the engineered a victory a little bit more challenging.
316, time to make the smart call to the Buell Insurance Agency, 724-443-5610. That's Mike Tomlin, asked by Jeff Hathorn, why is your team a kind of team that looks good one week, bad the next? And Tomlin says they need consistency in complementary football. One week the defense plays well, the next week, that same week the offense blows and special team stinks. Next week, defense looks great. Special teams good. Offense.
Not good.
Not good.
Yeah. I believe it. Complimentary football is not something that I like just discount and say, oh, it's all offense all the time. Good teams do the thing that he's talking about. The problem that I have with Mike is when he says it, I think his version of complimentary football is way more, like, I think other teams, it's mainly, hey, we know offense
it's
is kind of
defense forces turnovers, right, and offense doesn't give the ball away.
Yeah, it's the complete inverse. It's like, actually, we need a ton from our defense, and we need a lot from our special teams, and those things have to be perfect. When I think good teams, when they talk about complimentary football, it's, hey, our offense gets it done, and our defense gets stops when we need them to,
yep,
or holds teams to field goals. Like, do you think the Chiefs, I know they're out of the playoff picture technically right now, but we all still know that they're lurking. Do you think the Chiefs look at a field goal allowed drive in a lot of situations as a bad thing? I don't.
No, because they think they're going to come
back and
score
a touchdown. I think Mike's team allows like maybe a 55-yard drive that ends in a field goal, and he's pissed. Like, if they don't get off the field on a 3rd and 4 on that drive, he's sitting there fuming. Oh, God.
Unless it's that Packers game where he said, we need to score touchdowns to beat this team. We can't settle for field goals. And then I watched that same team last night score 7 points. So,
well, the Eagles, well, here's what you don't get. The Eagles played some of the most complimentary football in history. They were just complimenting each other left and right. Hey, you're great.
The Eagles defense, the cheapest in the league, held the Packers to 7 points. And Mike's defense, the highest paid in the league, gave up how many consecutive completions again to Jordan Love?
20. And 24 of 26 for him on 1st and 2nd down. I'm sure there's a lesson in there somewhere that won't be learned.
Here's John and Ross. Hello, John.
Hey.
John?
Yes, sir.
Yes,
what do you got for us, John?
Thank you for taking my call, and happy Veterans Day.
Yes, absolutely.
One thing I noticed with the regular season games and Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers had a fantastic career. He is seeing every offensive snap and receiver routes. He is seeing every defense that could be imagined. But when what I'm looking at is when the camera's on him and he's off the field, he's sitting on the bench. There's no communication. I don't see him talking to the offensive coordinator. I don't see him talking to his receivers, his linemen. He's sitting there like a spectator. And I'm wondering, why isn't he on his iPad and communicating with other...
Well, he does the iPad thing, and he sits next to the other quarterbacks, and he usually sits next to the quarterback's coach.
I was going to say, I've seen him next to Arthur on camera shots.
I guess, like, if you're... Not that I think this is a, you know, a front burner issue, but if you're saying, I've watched half a season for Aaron Rodgers, and I have not seen a situation yet where it's like one of these rally the troops things, like we've seen Tom Brady do on the sideline, or Peyton Manning or somebody like that, I think that's right. Like, not that I ever really thought.
I don't think that's his personality.
I don't think
though.
It is. I don't remember him really doing that in Green Bay either.
I mean, was Ben even ever a rally
no,
the troops guy? No,
he was not. In fact, when Antonio Brown was playing with him, one guy would stand on one side, and then the other guy would be as far away from the other as humanly possible.
They actually employed a divide and conquer strategy on the sideline. Brady's, I also think, like, Manning will do it because he was like a gym rat. But Brady has a 6th-round pick. I always took some of that as chip on the shoulder Brady.
Did you ever see the Peyton Manning, Jeff Saturday
yes.
video?
Oh, yeah.
Donnie, you know what I'm talking about?
That's one of the great NFL film
sideline
audios.
Where Saturday is like, we need to run the ball, and like Manning gets wind.
He just
Saturday's
goes,
telling everybody that.
You need to snap the effing ball. Snap the ball. Block. Snap
yeah.
the ball.
I know which one you're
Let
talking about
Let me make the
now.
Decisions here, champ.
But then Saturday, I got to give him credit in that exchange, basically tells him right back to go F himself.
Yep.
I mean, that's some real give and take there. God,
like,
which I hate sounding corny. That sounds like a healthy relationship.
I know. I want to see some more of that with this team.
Because you can't have that conversation and not have it escalate to blows unless you actually both respect one another.
I'd rather have some of that than what I saw Sunday night in L.A., which you brought this up a ton of times yesterday, like almost just a complete admission on their part that they knew they were going to lose, and their body language and everything else backed that up. Like, okay,
he had his version. He had his version of the Tomlin, I just smelled a fart stare.
Ryan,
Mike just looks up at the scoreboard and like crestfallen.
Ryan is in New Jersey. Hello, Ryan.
Hey guys, out of market view of the entire Stiller situation. It's not good for fans because I think you guys started with Rodgers yesterday making business decisions, which was obvious to anybody that's ever watched a football game that he was. But I think 3 levels of that team are making business decisions. It's not what people think. Rodgers, I think his pride was really hurt by the Jets' tenure, snapping the leg and then the bad season last year.
I agree.
Because what is Rodgers? At this point, he is a statistical hoarder. That's what he does. He has the obligatory Super Bowl. which I'll remind people to go back and look. There are two miraculous things in the NFC had to happen for the Packers to even make the playoffs that year in the last, like, 3 weeks of the season. It's really, like, shocking if you go back. I remember it like it was yesterday. If you go back and look at it, the fact that they were even in the playoffs is a miracle. So he wins the Super Bowl, but he's a stat compiler. And he's always had problems with McCarthy, with the Green Bay GM, the picks they make. Then it was New York. So he is going to trap the Steelers when he's gone. What he came there for is he wants 10-7 in a good statistical season. That's what he wants. Going to Tomlin, Tomlin is an $18 million a year coach with unlimited job security. You know, he's not going to get that anywhere else. He's not stupid. I mean, he's not stupid. I mean, he's not a football guy because he went to a college founded by the British, which is a sign you're not a real football guy. But whatever. I'm serious. Look it up. It never happens. And then going to Art and Jerry Jones, of all people, because some of these olders are really old, and he has a radio show where he goes and mouths off every week.
Yep.
Jerry Jones said last year that the brand is bigger than the team about the Cowboys. I think Art is in that category, too. Robert Kraft, maybe. The brand is bigger than the team. It does. They don't care if they're winning Super Bowls. So Mike Tomlin is perfect for Art because Mike Tomlin is. He looks good for the league. I mean, that's why they supposedly hired him.
I think a lot of what you're saying about like what the expectations are for this year, I agree with. I think like they won't ever admit it because they say it's Super Bowl or bust. Mm-hmm. I honestly think if you went to them and said, "Hey, you're going to go 10-7, you're going to lose a close game in the wild card round." All three of those guys would not like sign up for that, but they also
would live with that.
Yes, exactly.
They'd say we can live with that.
And especially Rodgers. I agree with what he said about Rodgers in terms of Rodgers just wanted the last chapter to be better than the nightmare that was New York.
Well, that part's definitely true. And I think he felt like I'm going to go play a place in Pittsburgh where they command a lot of respect nationally, where they're not seen as a laughing stock. He is, to an extent, doing his part by not doing the McAfee show, not stirring the pot and everything else. And he just wants it to go out with dignity.
I said this when he brought it up multiple times, and I was the only person that wanted to mock him for it, when he said, "What's your goal in Pittsburgh this year? To have fun. Have fun." Tom Brady doesn't say, "Have fun." Tom Brady like gives you a death stare and says, "It's to win a Super Bowl." Okay, and that's the only other guy that had success in his 40s. He wasn't, and he even mentioned, remember at training camp where he's like, well, there's really usually like four or five teams that can really win the Super Bowl. Then there's like another group of 10 or 12 teams.
Didn't he very notably not put the Steelers in the group that absolutely could?
Yeah, he's like,
could?
We're in that second group. He knew what he was signing up for. He had heard that Mike was a good guy to play for. He liked the Steelers brand and Steelers organization and Steelers family, and he knew that they weren't going to suck. And the last team he played for sucked.
And it was a joke.
Yes.
Had a kid named Brick making moves.
Yeah. He didn't come here to win a Super Bowl. He just came here to get the horrible he needed a palate cleanser. And that's what the Steelers are for him to finish his career. That was the landing.
He's going
to
go out with dignity.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll see what the week holds for him and all the others on practice squad, man. We're not opposed to elevating people and giving them an opportunity to contribute. I think it's just been about every game this year where we've elevated someone and utilized their talents. Last week, it was Mark Robinson, who we just reacquired. Several other weeks, man, it's been Trey Sermon, for example. Certainly open to evaluating Scantling, his ability to know what to do and the quality of that execution and how it might fit into what we're trying to do offensively in an effort to engineer victory, certainly.
It's 3:30 on a Tuesday. That means it's time for Donnie's Tomlin Tidbit. Mike waxes poetic on things for a half hour every Tuesday, and Donnie pulls one nugget, the ultimate football guy, digging deep to find something that Tomlin said that he finds illuminating or interesting. Join us Monday at the Drum Bar at the Rivers Casino. as we celebrate winning the Marconi, which is the radio equivalent of the Oscar. And we want to thank you for your loyal support to the station. First 300 guests get a free drink on us. So come raise a glass with us, hang out with your favorite hosts, celebrate another amazing year of Pittsburgh Sports Talk Radio. This is Donnie's Tomlin tidbit. We'll get to what Tomlin said there in a second. Donnie sent out a pretty badass picture today of his two grandfathers, who are both veterans. Were veterans?
Yes.
Okay, were veterans.
Korean War.
Korean War veterans, like Ted Williams.
Yep. Yeah, Teddy Ballgame.
They might have been hanging out with him there.
And like Jerry West's brother, who I think might have died in the Korean War. And I read a book about Jerry West's life. This is actually pretty dark.
Oh.
Apparently, he's battled depression his whole entire life.
Well, Jerry West passed.
You know, that's also true. But battled depression his entire life because he couldn't come to grips with the fact that his brother died in such a, like, he looked at the Korean War conflict as like something that was not a necessary war. Mm-hmm. In his mind, and like that messed with him despite all the success he had in life.
Yeah, that
great
sounds,
player.
That's
Final Four at West Virginia.
Yeah, his older brother David
LA
was
Lakers.
Killed in action.
Executive, drafted Kobe, traded for Kobe Bryant, got Shaq to go to LA, all these great things. And that was something
this
he just never
paragraph from
was
his
able
Wikipedia page. West was an outgoing and aggressive child in his youth. In 1951, his older brother David was killed in action in the Korean War. The grief turned him into a shy and introverted boy.
Yeah, man. And I'm telling you right now,
West spent days shooting baskets from every possible angle, ignoring mud and snow in the backyard, as well as his mother's whippings when he came home hours late for dinner.
Yeah, I read about that too. He had some tough situations as a kid, clearly. But I just got to say this about veterans for a second. I give them the utmost respect and love because I just can't fathom myself just packing up my stuff and going to war. You know?
Imagine being
Absolutely.
18.
You know what I'm saying?
I could never
imagine being 19 years old or something and you were in high school 3 years prior, 2 years prior,
yeah.
And you're storming Omaha Beach.
That's what I mean, man.
No, I nope. Can't imagine it.
So the people that
can't
did
fathom
that, and
that
made that sacrifice, I just, you know, put on a pedestal big time. All right, Donnie, let's get to your tidbit. I think that was on MVS.
It was. And I feel like after Sunday night, we are going to see MVS sooner rather than later. I know there was some discussion as to how long he would have to wait. Tomlin last week really poo-pooing. Oh, he's just a warm body. Really, I feel like after last week, Aaron Rodgers is going to make a push for this guy to get a helmet because he really had nothing. Like, as bad
guys
as he
weren't
was,
getting open. He
yeah,
flat
he
out
had,
said it.
He had very little from his receivers at the same time. And this is a guy that he's played football with for a while. He has a friendship with. I think he's going to make a strong push that this dude gets on the field pretty soon.
Well, I don't see why not. I mean,
what would be the justification for going against him on that if you're like the coaching staff? If he's quietly saying, hey, we need, I know this
train.
Guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
If Mike says he can't get on the moving train, Aaron should be like, look at some of the guys I'm thrown to. They couldn't get on a stationary train.
Mike did say that Scotty Miller is ready to come back from that broken finger.
Oh, well hold
on.
And
that
Time
would
out.
Be another guy for him because he's on the active roster and MVS isn't.
I know, but season saved. I'm ready. Scotty Miller. Scotty Miller's another one of those. I mean, we've made this joke about Kenny Pickett in the preseason before. Scotty Miller is a different one. Don't believe when you hear that so-and-so has been the star of camp that it means jack and or
yes.
squat.
Scotty Miller is the classic, makes a 17-yard catch in a preseason game, and Pomp says, Scotty Miller, this guy making a name for himself.
No, but I'm not even going to single out Pomp. Oh, you know who's the fastest guy on this team? It's not DK Metcalf. It's Scotty Miller.
Well, right, that's...
Yeah, I remember when Scotty Miller did the one thing he'll be remembered for in his entire NFL career, which is beat Aaron Rodgers in part because of a long touchdown before halftime.
That's what happens when you get afflicted with the St. Vincent virus. You go
SVV.
There, you're watching Steelers on Steelers, and guys in practice shine. And it's honestly, It's honestly like an example of the more you know, the less you know.
You just convince yourself that this is transferable to the season.
I mean, I remember, to make an analogy quickly, I remember when I was at Syracuse watching our football team practice against each other in like July.
And you were like, these guys,
like, these guys are really good.
And then you saw them play a real football team.
And then when they stopped playing each other, they would lose by 50 points, you know? So I think that's what happens. And
the weird thing, the weird thing is, the one sport not generally afflicted by that, because people take it so, like, it's preseason so not seriously in camp, is hockey. And yet here's Ben Kindle actually being good as a guy who burst on the scene during that period of time.
I happen to think at this point, you know, you might as well see if it works with MVS.
Of course.
The guys that are blocking him aren't proven to be any better than him. Calvin Austin's coming off another bad game. Roman Wilson did it in garbage time, which I guess you could look at as a silver lining to the game, even though I don't, because of when it happened. And Rodgers likes him. And look, at this point, even though I said I'm very leery of like Rodgers moving forward, and I think his best games are behind him, I'd throw him a bone and give him a guy he likes to play with. If the team says these guys aren't open, okay, give him a guy that he thinks can get open.
If MVS can still run fast, what is the harm in your offense in having a guy who just runs a go route to try to get a safety off of DK Metcalf? This is the beauty of that kind of player. If you hit one of those go shots one time to him and he actually catches it, that terrifies any defensive coordinator enough that they start acting differently.
Yeah.
We know this because Mike Tomlin runs the Steelers defense, and when somebody gets a 15-yard run against him, he acts like the entire operation's going
to
collapse.
And then instead of having to urinate blood to get in field goal range, you actually got it all with one play. Thank you, Donnie, for another Tomlin tidbit. What were your grandfather's names?
Joe.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Donald.
I like
which is where I get my full name.
I like I think it was, is Donald the guy that's wearing the Teamster jacket in the picture?
Tall guy.
Yeah. I like him. I like the cut of his jib there.
Don.
He looks like a guy that would like to have a beer and a shot, maybe, in his day.
Did they have fun grandpa names? Like my grandmother's, I didn't know my maternal grandfather. He died well before I was born, and my paternal grandfather died when I was like a year old. But paternal was Pap Hack, apparently. Because I guess he was compared to Hack Wilson in his youth for being like a short, stocky guy, right? And then the other one was Pap Shine for reasons, frankly, I can't even remember.
One was just, so the tall one, my dad's dad, was just Pop, and the other, my mom's dad, was Pap.
And then we had Grandma
no
Dutch.
No plural. Pop and Pap, not Paps, not Pops.
Yeah, sometimes it would be like Pop, Pop, and Pap, Pap.
Gotcha.
Oh, so we've got, the boys have had to learn this. So my dad is Grandpap. Alex's dad is merely Pap. Alex's maternal grandfather is still alive, so they have and grandmother, so they have great grandparents still alive.
Yeah,
and I think he's Grandpa, and then she's Double G. Like they got like 18 different. But then the weird thing is that like even the 3-year-old, even Ace, he knows them all. He never calls anybody by their wrong like terminology. They figured that out.
That young.
One of my buddies from school called his grandpa grandfather.
Hello, grandfather. Great to see you, grandfather.
Was he like the rich kid in the Little Rascals?
He was a rich kid, yes.
Well, what was his grandfather's actual name? Like Poindexter?
No, I think he had a pretty like normal,
like Bill?
Like Jim or like John or something like that.
Was he like the third or the fourth?
No.
Hello, grandfather. It's great to see you.
But it was not grandpa. It was grandfather. And my 39 years of life, he's still the only person I've ever met who called his grandparents grandfather and grandmother.
I think usually the grandparent doesn't want to be called like that. They want to be called like Grammy or Gramps or something. They want like the folksy little name.
Yeah, Graham.
It just makes Bubba. It sound so formal.
My dad's mom was named Rose Ann Muller, and I never called her Rose one day in my life. We called her Hey, we're going to Grandma Dutch's house.
Mm-hmm. Grandfather.
That just makes me think of Arnold in The Predator, but Grandma Dutch.
And then it was like what, like a noogie, you know, like and that was called a Dutch rub. Apparently,
she did that to you guys.
No, she didn't. But that's what we would call them for some reason. Yeah.
Here's Aaron in Uniontown. Hello, Aaron.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, man.
Hello.
So I don't even know why this is a conversation. I think all fans are tired of Mike Tomlin.
The media is tired of Mike Tomlin. And honestly, I think the players are probably tired of Mike Tomlin, which is why you see such an inconsistent play. We're sitting at 5-4.
But Aaron Rodgers said he's here because of Mike Tomlin and wouldn't be here without Mike Tomlin. So
I mean, how much stock do you put in that?
A lot, actually.
We're sitting at 5-4 right now, coming off of, I mean, the loss against the Chargers was terrible. 5 out of the last 7 seasons, we've had at least 1 3-game losing streak. I could see that happening again this year. I wouldn't be surprised if they lose the next 4 games, to be honest with you. I mean, I had high hopes riding into the season for real, but I think Mike Tomlin has just stolen the love of football from fans. And I think the players are just tired of playing for the guy. I mean, you could see it on the field. But
last week, they had lost 2 games in a row and then kicked the snot out of the team with the best record in the AFC. If the complaint you're levying here is they don't want to play for him anymore, it's hard for me to agree with that when I just saw his team show up and beat the tar out of a good team, Aaron.
I mean, but that could have been another one of those like players only meetings where the players kind of got themselves.
Aaron, there's another factor though. Like you talk about the players are sick of him. I know this. Media availability happened before the Chargers game, so maybe something changed. I think Ramsey's a pretty outspoken guy. When he gave that big pep talk, Tomlin acknowledged that he asked him to speak to the team.
Mm-hmm.
Ramsey's doing his weekly media avail. He's giving an answer. Then he stops midstream and says, wait, what did Mike say? And like made some reference to a Tomlinism. Said, why don't you print that instead? And like it was very much in a joking, I still like Mike tone. I don't think he's lost a lot of the veterans on that team. I think T.J. Watt was pretty forthright and said, we can't rely on turnovers. That might be a shot at the way Mike's philosophy works, but I don't think that the principal guys who would be the first people off the ship have shown signs that they are. The highest paid, you know, the guys he presumably has the most deference towards.
Look, none of us know the answer to that question. We can only go by how the team responds. I don't think they look consistently like a team that's quit on their coach. I don't. They did Sunday night against the Chargers. I don't think overall that's true. What is different, though, is what he said about fans. Like, I can't speak for every fan, but I think there are a lot of fans that have some version of what he said. He said, what was his line? Mike Tomlin has stolen
the joy from football.
The joy of football.
That applies to me.
Well, I think what he's done is he's made every one of their seasons so predictable.
Yeah, they all blend together.
And if you know what the end of the movie is, and it's not a particularly good movie, it just stinks to have to watch it again. And I know some Steelers fans are going to say, you know, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Be careful what you wish for. You know, you're bitching about 10-7. Well, when 10-7 ends in non-competitive playoff games, you have a right to bitch. I mean, if some of those years it was like, yeah, they only won, they lost 7 games in the regular season, but look at who they knocked off in the playoffs.
Yeah, they got to the AFC title game as a 10-7 team and threw a huge scare into the Chiefs on the road.
Different story. We're not talking about the 84 Steelers who at 9-7 beat the Broncos and John Elway in a massive upset. We're talking about a team that every year they sneak in, they get KO'd in the first quarter of the game. They get knocked out.
Like the game, it's not that the games aren't competitive for 60 minutes. They're not competitive for 15.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.